Well, it's called the desire factor, how to embrace your materialistic nature to reclaim your full spiritual power. Our special guest, Christy Whitman, with us, and we'll be back with Christy in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Christy Whitman with us, The Desire Factor. Christy is a New York Times bestselling author, transformational leader. Christy teaches the law of attraction, energy mastery, and personal development classes, meditations, private sessions to help clients feel more aligned with the divine design of well-being, abundance, and success. She's the founder of the Quantum Success Coaching Academy and a channel for the Divine Council. Christy, welcome to the program. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Hi, George. Very much looking forward to it, too. Thank you for having me.
Who is the Divine Council?
Well, the Council is a group of ascended masters that they lower their energy to come into my physical body. I kind of host them, if you will, and they are here to speak to us about energy mastery and how we can be more fully aligned as human beings with the divine part of us.
How long have you been channeling them?
Well, for many years, but full-on channeling since 2018. So they came through, you know, as signs that I was getting. I would hear their messages. I would get directions from them. But in 2018, when I was on a call, that's when my consciousness went out and their consciousness came in, and everything pivoted for me to be now Christy in the Council.
Now, were you channeling before that and they popped up, or were they the first ones?
No, they were the first one. Yeah. All my books, I've been an author for 20 years. All my books have been channeled, meaning it was more of like I could feel a block of information I could not channel, meaning I could not write. So I would grab a pen and paper, and I would start writing, and my hand would become, you know, just independent of my own consciousness. And so that was my first introduction, if you will, to channeling. And then there was a progression of where I'd be with a client because I coach, and all of a sudden my hands would go up and I could feel, you know, energy coming through my hands, and the person on the phone in a totally different country could feel the energy that was coming through the phone and around a particular area like a neck or a hip. And so this was also another progression of the channeling, but having my consciousness go out and their consciousness come in, and, you know, that was a first for me.
That's fantastic. Now, what is the source, as far as you're concerned?
It's literally all that is. So everything is energy, and we are energy, right? So we wouldn't be alive if we didn't have energy. It's the part of us that's breathing us. It's beating our hearts. So that source is what keeps us alive, and that source is energy. And so it's outside of us, it's within us, it's in each person, and it literally is our provider, it's our supply, it's our source. It's the one that gives us life and also is the one that has abundance and success, and, you know, every frequency of energy is based on what it gives us. It gives us our desires.
Would you call it the divine creator?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's God.
Yes, one and the same, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, of course, how did we know how God started?
That's a really good question.
The age-old question, isn't it?
Right, exactly. Well, you know, everything is energy, and with everything that has been created, God had a desire, right? God had a desire to create Earth and the stars and the galaxies, right? And created even the dinosaurs, right? And then realized that the dinosaurs are not so smart. They're not going to probably create much. So kind of like if a child's playing with a Lego set and they don't like the creation, they kind of, you know, break it all apart and start all over, and created man and saw what obviously man and woman can do as far as being more of a host for God, a creator, a partner, a co-creator to create with. And here we are.
Well, with Christy Whitman, her book, The Desire Factor, it's one of several books that she has out. Christy, life for you has not always been a bed of roses, has it?
No, I grew up in an upper middle class family, but my parents, and to this day, are still married, but they're very emotionally and mentally abusive to each other. and, you know, gone through a series of drugs and alcohol and those kind of things. My sister had committed suicide 25 years ago, and this really led me on the path that I'm on right now. But, you know, knowing law of attraction and applying this information, I'm so grateful that I became aware of it when she passed away, when she committed suicide, because it allowed me to have a very different approach to healing from a tragic event like that. And since then, I've, you know, lost jobs, I've been in debt, I have went through a divorce, and my son, who's now 10, when he was 2 months of age, was rushed to the hospital and had to have open heart surgery.
Oh.
And every one of those events allowed me to apply what I now know and really make, you know, lemonade out of lemons.
Did you question why you had that black cloud over you?
Yeah, I did. It was amazing when around the time of my sister, there was like one thing after another. I literally had a cup randomly come out of the cabinet and cut my leg. I had to get, you know, stitches. And then I got into a head-on collision with someone that just randomly came into my lane and, you know, totaled my car. And then my sister committed suicide. So it was a rough time, but I was literally learning how to release dark energies, open up to higher energies. And I believe it was really, you know, me having to release a lot of the darkness, a lot of the old energy that I had been bottling up for years and years, because that's what I was raised in. That's what I, you know, when I look at my parents now, it's like their energy is just so dark, and they're so in lack, and constantly in this place of fear and worry. And, you know, that, as we know it, when everything has a consequence, it's a cause and effect. And so for me, by releasing it, these things are coming out in my world. And I'm so grateful I got over that that phase.
Oh, my God, yeah. What was it, Christy, that changed that moment where things started getting better? What was that kind of aha moment?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you think about it, it's a mixture of more light was coming in, more better, higher energy was coming in, rather than what I was containing. I started releasing a lot of my fears. I even had my car stolen around that time. I forgot that part. So, you know, it was like bringing in more faith.
Did you ever get it back, by the way?
My car, no. It was in Sacramento, California, and they had, it was a brand new Acura Integra, and they found it, and it was totally stripped.
Oh.
Yeah. But those are those days, which I'm so grateful, because now that I have changed my mindset, I've changed literally my energy field. I've gone from a perspective and a really a way of being of lack and limitation to now abundance. You know, I'm not saying that contrast doesn't happen, but it certainly doesn't happen like that.
Were you negative in those days?
Oh yes, yeah. When I first learned about meditation and law of attraction, when my meditation teacher said to me, "You create your own reality," I was blown away, and that's what really opened me up. And then she said, "You create by your thoughts. You're either repelling things from you or attracting things to you." And I thought, my thoughts, you know. So she gave me an assignment. She said, "I just want you to pay attention to your thoughts for the next week, and when you come back, we'll talk about it." And it's the first time I actually became the witness to my thoughts, and I couldn't believe how judgmental, how critical, how condemning I was, not only of myself, but of drivers on the road, my family, my friends, mm-hmm. You know, God, I mean, the universe.
We're talking with Christy Whitman. Her latest book is called The Desire Factor. We're going to talk about manifestation and how you can literally change things. What is, to you, the law of attraction? You teach it. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, so we know now that everything is energy. We know this by quantum physics, modern science, that crack open an atom, there's energy. It doesn't matter if it's a plant, us, a dog, whatever it is. Everything is energy. There's unmanifested energy and there's manifested energy. So law of attraction is one of those laws that governs the creation, that governs our universe by vibration. So if everything is energy and all energy carries a vibration, that vibration goes out into the universe and it collects, it resonates with more things that are like it. And law of attraction is the law that organizes all of that. So what we give out, we get back, like a boomerang.
And when we get it back, does it come back in spades? Is it big time?
Well, it's the amount of frequency. So it's all energy, right? So what you give out in energy, it does come back. It's not like a tit for tat thing, meaning like if you yell at a stranger, you're not going to get yelled at by a stranger. But if you're giving out negative energy and the amount of energy that's going, the momentum of that energy, if you're constantly arguing with someone or being negative, that will come back in direct proportion.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And have you found that the more positive you are, the more things happen in a good way?
Yes, but it's not just being positive. And that's what a lot of people misunderstand. And I think, you know, we've had this personal development evolution, which is important. You know, people start off with affirmations and doing vision boards and things like that. And there's that, you know, having more positive thoughts than negative. That's how I started 25 years ago. But what I've realized in really being able to master my life and therefore be very deliberate in what I create, it's not just about being positive in our mindset. We have to feel what we want to feel. We have to connect with the energy, and then we're naturally thinking positive. So people have it backwards. They think, if I think positive, then I'll feel. But a lot of times the emotions don't catch up with, you know, the positive thinking. And so we have to keep thinking and thinking and thinking a thought just to try to feel good. And a lot of times it doesn't work. We might be seething inside with anger, and we're trying to think positively, and now we're totally misaligned. And we're not in integration of who we are. So it's all about energy mastery, not just about thinking positive.
Interesting. The desire factor. Tell us about the title.
Yeah, so all of us have desires. And when we get the desires that make us go, ooh, like that desire, you know, we get that idea that's like, yes, I would love to do that. That's a desire factor, because that has been given to us from a higher source. We've been talking about what sources, from that higher perspective of who we are. And that desire is meant to get us to become more, to experience more, to enliven us. And those desires are given to those that are in receptivity. It could be a desire for go to visit a friend. It could be a desire to eat. It could be a desire to start a business or start a family or go on a trip. Whatever the desire may be, when we flow and follow that desire, we feel expanded by it, and then we become something more than we are.
What does manifestation mean to you?
Well, manifestation, a lot of people think if I'm manifesting, it means I've received something, whether it's a partner or some of money.
Or you've conjured it up or something.
Yeah. Manifestation is literally being able to focus on what I want, being able to be in alignment with it and feel, and then even a thought is a manifestation, a feeling is a manifestation. All those thoughts and feelings, whether we're consciously doing it or not, if I feel bad, I've manifested a bad feeling. So it's an experience. It's what we have as a human being in this world as far as a evidence of having something, feeling, thought, you know, car in the driveway. It's an evidence of having something.
Is there anything that could be unrealistic that you can't attain?
If you don't desire it, a lot of times, you know,
it'll never happen.
Right. Exactly. Desire starts the creation of everything. And when you desire it, you know, someone might desire to be president of the United States, but if they're, you know, not U.S. born, obviously that's impossible to do. Right. So, but the divine doesn't give us desires that we aren't going to jump on. I always say that, for example, Marianne Williamson, who's, you know, a spiritual teacher and author.
Sure. Know her.
She wrote the endorsement for the book, which I'm very grateful. She got the idea to run for president. Now, and she ran with it. She loved that desire. Now, she didn't become the president, but who she became in the process, it completely expanded her. Plus the people that she had influence over that normally wouldn't write or read one of her books or attend one of her seminars, they were expanded by her too. Well, if the divine gave me that idea, I'd be like, no, thank you, right? As a matter of fact, during the elections, I had clients saying to me, you should run for president. And I was like, you're nuts. That's not a desire I have. So the divine knows its audience and will not give desires to someone that where it's not a possibility or the person's not going to flow in that direction.
Christy, you talk about obstacles that do stand in the way of people creating these manifestations? What are they?
Well, the first one is ourselves. You know, when we get a desire, a lot of times people will talk themselves out of the desire. They say, well, I don't know. Who am I to do that?
I can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do that. Or I don't know how to do that. Or, well, there's too many people doing that. Or I'm too old. Or I'm too young.
Or the classic is, nah, it'll never happen.
Right. Yeah. We talk ourselves out of it. We feel this, like, desire. We feel this moment of going, oh, yeah, I'd love that. And then the mind kicks in and says, nah, you can't have that. So we're our own obstacle. Other people are our obstacles. So we might be excited about something, and we share our desire with someone. They're like, you can't do that. Who are you to do that? You're too old. You're going to risk everything, right? So we get talked out of by the people that care about us, you know, not realizing what they do and that not realizing that they're not at the same consciousness that we received the desire and what we got excited about, in their best interest to protect us, like a lot of times our ego does. They want to keep us safe. And so the third obstacle is the how. Our mind tells us, I don't know how. Well, the desire factor shows people the how on how to create your desires, so that you're deliberately manifesting and plugging in whatever desire you have, so that you're moving through the seven principles to be able to create it.
Interesting take on that. And again, you know, we talked a little bit about negativity. I had a friend who's no longer with us anymore, but they would call him the cooler. Wherever he went, something happened to people around him. How does that happen?
What do you mean? Bad
things would happen.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of energy did he have that would he give out?
Well, he seemed to give out pretty good energy, but I don't know. There was something about him. He was always doubting himself, and I think he conveyed that to other people.
Well, we affect other people's energy. I mean, we are all interconnected, and here's what happens with energy that most people don't understand is that, you know, we are, you know, obviously trillions and trillions of cells, and those cells need to pick up on energy because we have all those cells have receptor sites. They need to be filled with energy. So if we're walking around someone, we're interacting with them, and they're exuding some kind of doubt, we're going to pick up on their doubt. It's not conscious, but we pick up on, we resonate with other people's energy. That's why it's important to hang out with people that have good energy, or to make sure you're the one that's deliberately bringing in the energy to fill up those cells, because now you're the influencer of good energy around you instead of picking up and being influenced by other people's energy.
That's an interesting take on all of that. Christy Whitman with us. Her book, of course, is called The Desire Factor. Where do people get your book?
TheDesireFactor.com.
That's simple enough, isn't it? But you got your own website, too, don't you?
I do. It's ChristyWhitman.com.
And we've got that linked up for you at CoastToCoastAM.com.
Perfect.
What would you like people who read the book to take away from?
To wake up to their power, to know who they are. Because it's a time like this where so much is being stirred up, and victim consciousness is at an all-time high. And it's important for us to understand that we cannot control anything that's going out in the government, with pandemics, with all these other things. The only thing that we have influence over is our consciousness. Our consciousness is our words, what we say, our thoughts, our perspective, our emotions, and the actions, behaviors that we take. And when we start to inner focus on those things, we change and influence the outer reality. And all of us have this ability to do it because all of us have free will and choice. And if we put more of our focus and attention on what excites us, what we desire, how we want to feel, what we want to focus on, the energy we want to bring in, we actually live by divine design and we thrive and feel good.
And where does greed fit in? We're going to take a break here, Christy. I want you to answer that when we come back. Much more to talk about with Christy Whitman on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take calls next hour with Christy Whitman as we talk about manifestation. So share your stories with us or your questions. Her book is called, of course, The Desire Factor. She also has one called Quantum Success as well. Welcome back. Christy Whitman with us. Websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Christy, where does greed fit into this?
Well, greed is one of those emotions, it's an experience that comes from lack and limitation. And so there are many emotions like competition, greed, jealousy, envy. Those kind of emotions come from a place that is just, it doesn't feel good. It's lack. It's all imprinted. It definitely is not a aligned state of being from the divine. And so someone that's in a space of greed is they're feeling like they don't have enough and they need more and more and more and more and more. And they're wanting to take all that they can, not considering or thinking about anybody else, but just wanting it for themselves so that they will feel better in having whatever it is, so that they're feeling like they've got, you know, more money or more status or whatever it is, because they're just not feeling good about who they are and they're not in alignment.
When somebody comes to you and needs some assistance, needs some help, how do you start? What do you do?
Well, I first start talking to them about what is their desire, because I need to know what is their intention and what are they wanting to work on. And most people, when they start to work with myself or the council, we'll talk about what's wrong and bad in their lives, right? What they feel is blocking them. And so by talking to them about what their blocks are, shifting their perspective is the first thing. I mean, again, like we went before we went on break, our consciousness is all that we have to create, and it's what we say. Our words are really important, what our thoughts are, what our perspective, what our energy, what our emotion is, and then the action, the behaviors that we take. And a lot of times we have these stuck emotions because we're, you know, we could be going along having an experience, and then someone says something, does something, we get some kind of news. And if we are taught not how to process our emotions, which, let's face it, most of us weren't, we're taught don't cry, I'll give you something to cry about, you know, little girls shouldn't be angry, you know, we have a shutdown of our emotions. Well, emotions are energy. So if we hear something or we feel angry about something, a lot of times we constrict around it. That energy creates a block because we need to be able to process it out. So that block becomes a set point in which we create, because again, we talked about law of attraction, right? If we have energy that's contained within us, that energy doesn't just sit back and do nothing. The energy spirals and it creates a vortex within us, and it becomes louder and louder from what we're sending out for the universe to give us back. So if we're resentful on something, we're sending out signals of resentful, meaning we're going to have more experiences, more situations, more relationships that bring the feeling of resentful back to us. It's kind of like having those buttons being pushed. And so I work with people to help release those energy blocks, those pockets of energy where they've gotten their energy stuck so they can release it. And once it's released, now they're in the flow of good feeling energy. Now they can choose the energy that they want to experience instead of being stuck from something that they were totally unconscious that happened, sometimes even their younger years.
And Christy, you seem to have learned how to separate materialism from spiritualism. And I think that's important because this isn't all about materialistic things.
Well, you know, when you think about it, everything here in the earth, on earth plane, is material, right? It's also spiritual. It's also energy, because the fact that all things are created with energy. When you look at us as a human being, yes, we are material, we are physical, but we're also energy. We're also non-physical. And it's not one or the other, it's both and. And so when we understand that if we have a desire for something that is, say, material, most people think, oh, that's a materialistic, that's shallow, that's not good. But really, it takes energy, it takes spiritual alignment to be able to have a lifestyle where you have time and money freedom, or you get to drive a nice car, or you get to live in a beautiful home. It's not separated. It's literally one and the same.
What do these divine masters, the ascended masters, say about what's happening on this planet?
Well, it's funny, when everything happened last year, when everything went in lockdown, and then it was like more and more stuff was getting stirred up. When everything started, I said to the council, okay, what gives? What is this about? And they said it's an amplification time, meaning that what someone has in their unconscious, subconscious, is being amplified, and people need to start looking and releasing their stuff. So, you know, human beings always have free will and choice, But if you have a, say, a woman that's been feeling lonely and desperate to find a partner, now she's in lockdown by herself, that's going to bring up more of her loneliness. So she's either going to have to process the loneliness and get some help, or she's going to drink more and smoke more and eat more. And that's what happened. There was a lot of people that woke up, those people that were fearing and worrying about money, and then all of a sudden this happened. That fear of money, that worry of money got amplified. So you can either learn how to process the emotions and change a different state with your money, with the relationship you have with money, or you can drink and smoke and have more anxiety and take anxiety pills and all those other kind of things. So it really is, it was a time, and it still is, a time of many people waking up that there's more to this experience than going to work, earning an income, coming back home. You know, there's more out there. We're creative beings, and we're supported, we're loved, we're adored, and yet a lot of people feel that this life is all about being hard and working hard and struggling and suffering.
Well, there's no question since COVID, anxiety levels are high, divorce rates are high, suicide levels are high. I mean, it's just been a mess for people, hasn't it?
It has. And what's unfortunate is that more and more people need to learn how to process energy, because when they do, when they're literally understanding that everything is the anxiety, let's just talk about that for a second. Anxiety is not a emotion. It's actually a disease state. And anxiety is actually an overamplification of an emotion that hasn't been expressed. So it's like someone's in fear, they're in worry, they haven't processed their fear or worry, so it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Kind of like depression on the other end of the spectrum. Someone that is depressed, they've been feeling sad, and they've suppressed and suppressed and suppressed, and now they're depressed.
Big time depressed.
Yeah. So, but what happens is, I've worked, and the council has worked with many people that have had either anxiety or had depression, and what happens is when they just let themselves feel the sadness that they've been defending against and pushing away and trying to, you know, suppress and escape, when they allow just the feel, not necessarily the sadness, but the energy underneath the sadness, it's like it takes about 90 seconds to process waves of energy. And for someone that's had, you know, years and years that they've been suppressing it, it might take a few waves to get it out. But once they start to feel it, now they can bring in a different energy. They can choose to feel joy. They can choose to feel excited about life instead of being stuck or afraid of their feelings.
Christy, share with us a story of a successful manifestation that you know about.
That I personally have done, or my clients?
No, that your clients might have done and it come to you.
Well, I have a client who she's a woman in her 50s, and she has been in debt her whole entire life. Her parents were in debt. When I met her, she was $140,000 in debt and has a high-paying job. And so she was frustrated with this, among many other things that were going on in her life. But she learned how to shift her energy, and we worked on a lot of different things with the council where she was releasing the blocks and releasing the imprints of, you know, her family of being in debt and having the kind of relationship that they had with money. And it's amazing how this always happens, but within a month's time frame, she attracted enough money where she literally got out of debt, and now she's saving money.
Saving money in a big way, but she put herself in that position, didn't she?
Yeah, but, you know, when you learn as a kid, right, you're a sponge. You see your parents and their relationship. You pick up on things. You know, a parent doesn't have to sit a child down and say, now this is how you get in debt. You know, we pick up on the energy patterns. And so her parents, hardworking people, it's not like they just sat around. They always struggled with money. And so it's, for example, this thing called money, you know, people have, money is an exchange. Right? But people have so much meaning that we give to it, that money is hard to come by, and it's so difficult to have money, and, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, and all this projection onto a child, or that the child grows up with, they pick it up. I myself have my own issues with money, where I would make money and then spend it and get rid of it. And when I had to, like, literally sit with it and go, what's my own personal relationship with money, I realized that my mom admired people that had money. She wanted to have a opulent lifestyle. She loved that. My dad, on the other hand, would cut down people and judge people that had money, even though he made good living. But it was a communication that of miss, you know, it was like split energy of mom says it's good to have money, dad says it isn't. So I would earn it, and then I would get rid of it because I didn't want to make dad wrong or mom wrong. So that, and that I had to reconcile within myself to create my own relationship with money so I didn't have this up and down with money.
People who are generally, Christy, well-intentioned, good people, big hearts, do they tend to manifest better than somebody who isn't, somebody who's mean?
Not necessarily. I mean, we could see evidence of people that are cruel or mean or just...
And they're successful.
Yeah, and they're successful. And then you have evidence of people that are really well-intentioned, good people that work really hard and they're not successful. It's not about if someone's good or bad. It's about the havingness that someone has, someone that could be cruel and maybe even downright greedy. Where's their focus? Where's their havingness? Where's their expectation of success? It's all about what we hold and what we allow in. And it's also about our beliefs. So someone might not, you know, be a good person necessarily or be a generous or kind person, but if they believe that they're deserving of money and that if they work, they're going to get money and they expect that they're going to be successful, they're sending out signals of success to the universe, and what they're going to get back is evidence of success. So it's really not about if someone's good or bad. It's about what are you vibrating.
Where does karma fit in here?
Well, karma is like law of, it is law of attraction. It's what you send out, you get back. And, you know, when there's this thought process of, okay, well, you were bad in one lifetime and now you're here, we're here in the now. And what we send out energetically, meaning what do we think, what do we feel, what do we, you know, what's our perspective, what actions and behaviors are we taking, it is like a boomerang. What you send out, it's going to come back. So karma and coincidence and, you know, meant to be and serendipity and all these things are just another way of describing law of attraction.
See, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe things happen for a reason. What do you think
Correct.
Of that? You agree with that?
Totally, because coincidences are another way of saying law of attraction, right? There is no out of the blue, oh, that was such a coincidence. It happened because of the law of attraction. Law of attraction manages the vibrations and energy. So, you know, if you're thinking of someone, you're on that frequency, and all of a sudden they call and they're like, oh my gosh, what a coincidence. Well, I was just thinking about them. I mean, how many times have you maybe run into someone you were just thinking about, or someone you were thinking about all of a sudden calls you on the phone or emails you, and you're like, oh my gosh, what a coincidence. No, you're on the same vibration. You're calling their energy in.
Yep, you're on that level. What are some of the things people do to block themselves from being able to accomplish these things?
Well, being stuck in our imprint. So any, like, let's just talk about this for a minute. When you look at it as a spectrum, on one side of the spectrum is lack and limitation, insufficiency. And that's where fear and doubt and worry and all of those lower level emotions come from. That's not of the divine. That is not a divine experience. That's a human experience. And those come from, you know, we're not born with this, you know, fear, right? We're not born with insecurity. We're not born with worry. We learn these things, and they get imprinted into us if we don't process it. And, you know, we're meaning makers as human beings. I mean, you could be in a household where there was a lot of love, and then all of a sudden mommy or daddy's not giving your attention in the moment that you need it, and you make a decision that I'm not loved. That imprint of I'm not loved creates, you know, a whole series of decisions that and circumstances based on that decision. So anything that's in lack, any lower level emotion, resentments, I mean, anger, all those things that are imprinted, not as just a, hey, I'm feeling angry about this, I'm going to process this, let it go, but like a set point of anger, a set point of worry, these are imprinted parts of us. People talk about the ego. I said, well, give the ego a break. We're all created with personalities. It's not the ego that's a bad thing because, you know, George, you're different than I am. I'm different than somebody else. And the divine likes that. It created it. It didn't want all of us to be the same way. Dinosaurs would still be here if it wanted that. You know, so we're all different, so we create different things, so it can give us different desires. But the imprinted parts of us are the parts that are not aligned with the divine, that think in lack, that think in limitation, which creates all those negative emotions.
It's fascinating the way it works. I mean, is there somebody up there controlling the strings?
No, we've got free will and choice. You know, as above, so below.
So we do it to ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are things that we attract in our experience. We come in as a soul, and it's like, oh, okay, that looks like love. My job is to remember love. I'm going to go into this house that has parents that love each other, but they argue a lot, and they're rude to each other, and they're mean to each other. So I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to remember what love is. And so we get these blinders. We get these, you know, these veils over us until sometime we wake up. But we're by the time we wake up, and some of us never do, we're imprinted with the abuse, with the you know, thoughts of I can't do something, or I'm not good enough, or whatever that is. And it's up to us to awaken. It's like the desires are what help us awaken. That's why one of the reasons that Council and I wrote The Desire Factor is because desires are like little spiritual breadcrumbs along our physical experience. And that when we feel enlivened by something, we follow that, it creates a spark in us. And the more desires that we flow and follow with, we wake up. We create more of a feeling of being alive. And that feeling of being alive and being expanded is so much higher than the can'ts and the won'ts and the shoulds.
Christy, when we come back at the top of the hour, we're going to take phone calls with you. So get ready to make the call, talk about manifestations, share your story or a question, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.